But please have your Bibles open to Psalm 121. Now, we all know that even today, travel can sometimes be a little bit dangerous, can't it? It doesn't matter if you're going somewhere on foot, or whether you're going by road, or rail, or air. Getting from A to B always involves a certain amount of risk. All sorts of things can go wrong, and occasionally all sorts of things do go wrong. But usually for us today, things aren't too bad, and we end up facing inconvenience rather than real danger. Fortunately for us, real danger is not as common as it used to be, but sadly it is something that some people do have to go through. When we think about travel and danger, especially travel overseas, what we need is some kind of protection, which is exactly what you're doing when you take out insurance policies. If you're going over to Europe or down to Africa or some other exotic place, you need travel insurance, don't you? And even here in the UK, you need insurance on your car if you're driving, and you have your roadside assistance and all that sort of thing. So that if the worst should happen to us, there's going to be people around who are there to help us. So if travel is difficult today, imagine what it was like at the time of Christ. That was pretty bad. But it was good in the time of the Romans because they'd sorted out the roads. Imagine what it was like 1,000 years earlier than that, when people were trekking up to the temple to gather together for their feasts and their festivals, when the pilgrims were on their way to Jerusalem to worship. They had to cope with all sorts of things. If you think it's hot today, you try going for a walk in the Middle East. It really is baking there. I'm sure some of you have been out there and you know that there is a huge difference between the sort of temperatures you get in daytime and the closer you get to the equator than here. The roads were particularly dangerous. They weren't paved. There'd just be tracks. And there were all sorts of dangerous beasts there. Now, I'm not talking about people celebrating the World Cup win in the local petrol station or the service station. They had real lions and real bears to contend with. And in addition to that, there were bandits. And we're not talking about a pickpocket on the train. We're talking about someone who would kill you in order to take your valuables. Travel used to be a lot more dangerous than it is today. But those pilgrims back then, they had a far better insurance policy than anything that we can buy online today. And the good news for us this evening is that that insurance policy is still available. He's still providing cover. And not only for the next time that you're jumping your car, for the Christian, he provides cover for the whole journey of life. Whatever age you are, whatever moment you are, whatever period you are in life, as you go through the different seasons of life, he is able to and ready and willing and present to help you. Because he is our Creator God. This is what the pilgrim going up to Jerusalem all those years ago understood in a way that is largely lost today, even amongst Christians, because we've got the benefit of all sorts of scientific knowledge, which means that a lot of Christians don't really think too much about God as their creator. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture tells us quite clearly that God is the maker of heaven and earth, which means that everything that we see around us, everything that we can touch, everything that we can feel, everything that we experience is all part of God's creation. It's all been made by God. The world was thought up by God. It was all part of his intricate design. He spoke this world into existence. And this is the God that the pilgrim is going up to Jerusalem to worship. This is the God that we gather together here this evening to worship. The Creator God, the only God. All other gods are just made up out of people's imagination, or they're part of creation. They're part of what God has already made. He is the creator. He is the source of everything. He does not rely upon his creation in any way whatsoever. He stands apart from it, and he is the one who made it. The Creator God, the God that we gather together to worship, who we know as our Heavenly Father because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one that we gather together as Christians to worship. This is the one who lives in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now, in the days of the Old Testament, when this psalm was originally penned, the place on earth where God's presence was most clearly felt was the temple in Jerusalem, especially the Holy of Holies. So it's there, it's in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is on top of a mountain, and the poor old pilgrims, not only did they have to cope with difficult travel conditions, but they had to climb uphill as well. Who likes walking up a hill? Even James Street, that can be difficult, can't it? You had to climb a long way up to get to Jerusalem. So he's there, and they're looking up to the mountain, and they're saying, I lift my eyes to the mountain, where does my help come from? And there they're praying towards God. He is the one who is able to help the pilgrim. It is his temple that they are aiming for. And when they arrive in Jerusalem, when they go into those temple courts, it marks the end of the journey for them. And then it's the time of worshipping in the place where God's presence is most clearly manifested anywhere on earth. That's what's happening as these pilgrims go up to the temple to worship. Of course, for us today, things are different because the temple is long gone. But under the new covenant, each and every believer has God's presence in their heart through the Holy Spirit. And consequently, anywhere can be a place of worship. Remember how Jesus said to the Samaritan woman that a time would be coming when the Samaritans were worshipping on a mountain somewhere, the Jews were worshipping in the temple, and he said, oh, that's going to go. There will soon be a time when people will be worshipping in spirit and in truth. And that's the sort of worshipper that that God is looking for, someone who worships in spirit and truth. And through the new covenant, each believer has got God's presence in their heart through the Holy Spirit, so anywhere can be a place of worship. But there's special times when we gather together as God's people. And we get these special times every single Sunday as we gather together as the family of the people that God has called together through the Lord Jesus Christ, called together to worship him. So we're as close to God right now here in this room as the Jews were when they were gathering together in the temple courts in the Old Testament. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That we are as close to God now as these pilgrims were when they went up to the temple. For the pilgrims, they were on this journey, this difficult journey, going up to a temple. But for us, as we look at this psalm, we're able to understand it in a different way because God's here with us. And we see that this is really referring to the pilgrimage that we go through as we go along and encounter the difficulties and dangers of life. As we travel through this life, as a Christian, where do you look for help? Who do you look to for help? Do you trust in yourself, in your money, in your abilities, or maybe in your family, hoping that they will always be there for you? Do you trust in the NHS, the council, the government, some other agency? All of these things are great blessings that the Lord gives us. Yet at the same time, they are weak, they are fallible, and sadly, more often than not, they do let us down, and they can disappoint us when we most need help. The Lord Jesus Christ, through whom this world was made, is the only one who is guaranteed to never, ever let us down. He is the one who is there in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that we will see face to face when we eventually reach the end of our journey through this life. And he is the one who is watching over the pilgrim, whether they're on a journey on the way up to Jerusalem or watching over us. For the traveller in ancient times, knowing that the Creator God was looking after them would have given them incredible confidence. If God can speak the world into existence, then he should have no problems whatsoever in looking after his people. So we see they confidently declare that he would not let their foot slip. And that's really important when you're climbing a mountain. Has anyone here ever walked up a really steep mountain? Yeah. When I was young and reckless, I used to do scrambling, which is climbing up stuff on all fours. It's not quite steep enough for ropes, but it's too steep to walk up. It was great fun. Absolutely great fun. But really dangerous if your foot slips, because you could fall a long, long way. And you could go tumbling all the way down the hill, and all sorts of things could happen to you. If you've ever done mountain walking, you find that the best thing to do is go in a group of people. Then when you're going up a steep bit, you're able to pull each other up, or even if you're behind, many a time you sort of put your hands underneath someone's boot and give them a little bit of a shove up. When you're in a group, when someone who is there with you, it means that they're there to stop you letting your foot slip. It may be in certain places you even have to rope yourself together to be safe. Providing our footing is okay as we go through this mountain of a life, it means that our head and our heart are okay as well. Another problem people would have on long journeys in the ancient world was night time. What's it like without electricity? It's pretty dark, isn't it? You might be able to have a campfire or something like that. But what you certainly don't have is a nice travel lodge to go and have a comfortable break in, which has got a conveniently situated burger bar outside. You don't have that, do you? Instead, people would have had to have made camp, and then they'd take it in turns to keep watch through the night, which is quite a hard thing to do after you've been walking all day. You've been walking, you're tired, you're weary, and then they say, okay, you've got the first watch. 2 or 3 hours, when you've got to stay awake, make sure the campfire keeps burning. Make sure that no wild animals sneak into the camp. When you're sleeping out here in desert areas, one thing that happens is that the snakes, they're sort of drawn into the camp, and they like heat, so they curl up on top of you. And they go to sleep on top of you. So you have to make sure that there aren't snakes on people. And then, of course, there's the danger of bandits as well. People who can, you know, really come and do an awful lot of harm. So it's absolutely critical that you've got people who are keeping watch at night. When God is your insurance provider, it's reassuring to know that he never sleeps, because he doesn't need to. He is the everlasting God, and he's certainly not going to fall asleep on the job. He's not going to get bored. He's not going to wander off. With God on our side, we can be sure that he will be there for us when we need him. And he is able to protect us from any dangers that come our way, whether that is shade from the sun, which we now appreciate in a way that we probably didn't 6 months ago, or the terrors of the night, when all sorts of things came out in the darkness. It talks there, doesn't it, about the moon at night. And that's just a way of referring to the terrors of the night. With God on your side, neither the day nor the evening, the night, hold any terrors at all. In many ways, as we think about this psalm, it reminds me of the protection that our Lord and Savior had during his time on earth up until the time of his crucifixion. Because I'm sure you know from the Gospels that as he went from place to place, some people welcomed him with open arms. Other people tried to kill him. On more than one occasion, people tried to stone him. And then one time they were going to throw him off a cliff, and he just passed through their midst. And our Lord had absolute protection until the decreed moment arrived, when he would be surrendered into the hands of sinful men. Nothing could touch the Lord until his time came. That's a phrase you see reoccurring in John's Gospel. And then, because we know the end of the story, we know that even when he was surrendered into the hands of sinful men, it was all part of the plan. For us as Christians today, this is reminding us of what they used to call the doctrine of providence, which sounds very complicated. Maybe even a nice place to go or something. But the doctrine of providence, which teaches us that basically God is in charge, and everything that happens to you is under his control. It doesn't matter if it's something good or something that's difficult. Everything is under God's control. Now, as I make that statement, straight away, you may be thinking, well, some really hard and difficult and painful things have happened in my life. Are you saying that a God of love would allow those things to happen to me? You might be thinking that. And I am saying that. And if this is an area that you're struggling with, or an area that you've got painful experience in, I want to ask just a couple of questions to help you understand how this works. First of all, what does it say about God if something happens to you that is outside of his control? If he was unable to stop it happening to you, would God still be all-powerful? Would God still be almighty? Of course he wouldn't, because there'd be a power greater than him out there which could influence your life to harm you. So if things are happening to you that you think are outside of God's control, then the God that you believe in is not the almighty God, the all-powerful God that we see revealing himself through the pages of Scripture and through his Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So to say that things happen to you that are outside of God's control is to rob God of his power and strength. Next question. If God is all-powerful and he allows bad things to happen to us, how can he still be a God of love? Well, that question in many ways is a better question. And this is a question where we are moving on to areas where it's difficult to answer clearly. But we can say that the way that God is a God of love is quite different to the way that our society defines love today. Our society today, when someone loves you, they do everything for you, and it's always positive and helpful. But sometimes if you really love someone, it means that you have to stop them doing things which are bad. It means that sometimes they have to go through difficult situations and circumstances which help them to grow and develop and mature and reach their full potential. You see, God is love, and he's also good, which means that all the things that he allows to happen to us are guaranteed to work out for the best in the long run, even when they're difficult, even when they're painful. And we have to acknowledge that right now, we only see part of the picture. And we don't always fully understand every trial and tribulation that we go through. But we know that God is good. We know that God is love. We know that he is in charge of every situation. And we know that all things will work out for the best for those who trust him. When life is tough, and for some people, for some Christians, life can be incredibly tough, we just have to trust that God knows what he is doing and pray for the grace to deal with the burden that we are carrying. One day, when we see Jesus face to face, we will look back on our lives and we will see God's gentle hand working all along our life's pilgrimage. One day, it will make sense. It won't make sense, though, until we get to journey end when we see Jesus. And thirdly, rather than a question, some advice. We must never forget to thank God for all of the love, care, and protection that he gives to each one of us. All of us receive countless, numberless blessings, and our blessings always outweigh our problems. The problem that we have as humans is that we tend to focus on the negative, and we allow the negative to consume us and blot out the blessings that God gives to each and every one of us. So we need to be careful not to blow difficult things out of all proportion. We need to be people who keep on looking to the Lord. So when we find ourselves facing difficulties, look at verse 1 of this psalm. Lift up your eyes to the mountains. Where does your help come from? Where does your help come from? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated in power and authority, high over all. He is the one who is in charge. He is the one who loves you enough to die for you. If he's willing to go that far for you, then he certainly can be trusted in guiding you through the difficulties of this life. And our response to his incredible love is to worship him. And as we worship, we are given strength to cope with the problems we face, while at the same time, we express our thankfulness for the blessings that we receive. And that's what really brings this psalm to a conclusion, because it closes in verses 7 and 8 with a blessing, a statement of certainty. You can almost picture the scene, can't you? Some sort of pilgrim camp, maybe, at the bottom of the hill, before the final ascent up into Jerusalem, and maybe the pilgrim caravans are gathering there, and then some of them, it's time for them to go up while others are left behind, and you can just see them saying, singing, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Are these verses that you as a Christian can wholeheartedly pray? Do you really believe them? Do you believe that the Lord can protect you from all harm? That he will protect your life? Are you certain that God is in control of each and every situation? You should be, because it's true. God is in control of every situation, and he will protect us from anything that's out to harm us. And anything that does happen, it's all part of his plan to make us into people who are just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we often find, don't we, that when we go through the difficulties of life, that's when we turn to the Lord more, we feel his presence more clearly, we get closer to him. And then when we've gone through difficulties, more often than not, we find ourselves a few years later in the situation where we're helping other believers to go through those same difficulties that we've encountered. So the Lord uses our pain and trial, often for good for ourselves and other people. So when we do go through difficulties, we do need to be looking to the Lord, asking the Lord to teach us. And we should be gathering together as a family to support one another. Because one of the great advantages of being a Christian is that we're adopted into Christ's family. To be in a gathering of true believers, we don't have to go on a long, dusty pilgrimage up to Jerusalem and go to the temple. All you got to do is go on the long, dusty pilgrimage to Great Harbour Christian Fellowship, which is a lot easier than going to Jerusalem. Believe me, it is. You know, and as we gather together, we're all part of his family, and he cares for us. He is the head of the body. We are the limbs. We are the rest of the body, and so on. In this life, it's so easy for us to look to other things, to our own strength to deal with the problem, maybe to our physical families for help. And as Christians, we seem to forget that we are part of a greater and more capable family. So we only ask for prayer. We only ask for help when everything else has been exhausted. But instead, we need to be turning to the Lord and turning to the Lord's people straight away, because we are all part of the kingdom of God. And we have those promises in Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ will protect us from all harm. Just read Romans 8, and you can see it there. At the end of Romans 8, we read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Then a few verses later, Paul continues, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our Lord never sleeps, and he's capable of dealing with any problem that is thrown our way. So when we do find ourselves struggling with the difficulties of life, we can be confident that it will all work out for good, because we know that our Lord is in charge. And not only is he in charge, he is far more than the greatest ever insurance provider, because he is our Lord, our King, our Master, our brother, our friend, the one we worship, the one we serve, the one who was born, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven. He is the one who is watching over us. He is the one who helps us. Amen.